Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and our study is a construction site tour, the tabernacle in the wilderness. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 6, verses 27 all the way down to verse 59. Let's read that passage as we begin here to get the context. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do, that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which has come down, which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. In our tour of the wilderness tabernacle, we are ready now to enter the tent and to view its glory. The walk from outside the fence through the door to the Holy of Holies is a picture of the Christian life. In seven steps, the altar of sacrifice, which is forgiveness at the cross, the laver of cleansing, which is cleansing by the word, the table of showbread, which is the fellowship of believers, the golden lampstand, which is the testimony by our light, the golden altar of incense, which represents prayer, the Ark of the Covenant, which is a surrender to Christ, and the mercy seat, which is perfect peace. The seven furniture pieces of the tabernacle picture conversion, separation, study, testimony, prayer, surrender, and victory. The process of the believer growing to maturity in Jesus Christ. Entering from the east, we pass through the door of Christ, approach the altar for salvation, and have experienced cleansing at the laver. Next, we arrive at a table with bread set on it for the priests to eat. This scene speaks of the believer feeding on the Word of God. In considering the table of showbread and its purpose, look at four distinctions of feeding on the Word of God. First, the furniture of feeding. The table stood on the right side of the tent as you entered. It was made of acacia wood, overlaid with pure gold. Its dimensions were 3 feet by 1.5 feet by 2.25 feet high. And it had gold molding all around its top edge with 4 golden rings and 2 bars of gold-plated wood for carrying it from place to place. On the table were 12 loaves of bread in 2 rows of 6, flavored with frankincense. This was the food of the priests in the tabernacle, and it points to Jesus Christ. Around this table, the priests worshipped and fellowshipped on the basis of the blood of the sacrificed animal at the altar. The living bread. Look again at John chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Verse 48, "I am the bread of life." Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." That table was the center of fellowship for the priests. And that bread was the nourishment for the priests as they ministered. We are the New Testament priests as ministers for Jesus Christ. We have come by way of the cross, we've been washed by God's word, and now we are to seek fellowship in worship with other saints. The assembling of the believers together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." There is no believer so spiritually mature that he can get along alone. Second, there's the fellowship of feeding. The priests gathered around the table. All true fellowship happens around the person and work of Jesus Christ. The living Word, the Holy Spirit's indwelling, and the written Word, the Bible. What is the ultimate expression of Christian fellowship? The Lord's Supper. One body of believers gathered around the table, remembering the Lord's death. the priests of the tabernacle gather together around that table for one purpose, to eat the bread, which pictures the Word of God. We have drifted far from that simple formula of believers gathered for fellowship around the Lord Jesus Christ without extra paraphernalia, just to feed on His Word. Sadly, we've turned worship services into exhibitions with the Word of God pushed to a second-class status by a lot of preliminaries and then pressure to keep the sermon brief. Why? Why is that? Well, it's because the worshipers are full by that point. Kind of like feasting on sweets before mealtime. There's no more appetites. Charles Spurgeon said this, the great prince of preachers. He said, "The devil has seldom done a cleverer thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide entertainment to the people with a view of winning them. Providing amusement for the people is nowhere spoken of in the scriptures as a function of the church. Entertainment ministries will, in the long run, produce worldliness." That's Charles Spurgeon from the mid-1800s, speaking about what has come about in much of the church today. And then third, there's the posture of feeding. The priests had to eat standing up at all times. There were no chairs at the tabernacle. An image that the house of God is not a place of ease and entertainment, but a place of work. There's work to do. The fields are ready for harvest. Eat standing up and be ready to go to work. Kind of a picture of the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, ready to go in a moment. Also ready to go to Jesus when He says, "Come up here." The Lord's Supper picture. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Jesus Christ, the living bread, is coming at any moment. When He comes, will He find us occupied with Him, feeding on Him? Will He find us in fellowship with Himself and other saints? Will He find us feeding on His Word? And then fourth, the frequency of feeding. The priests were to feed at the table daily. The bread was the result of a process of suffering and death. Wheat ground to powder and baked in a heated oven. The living bread was crushed in the Garden of Gethsemane and was heated on the cross of Calvary. Keep the vision of the price of your salvation before your heart's eye. Jesus Christ struggling in tears, sweat, and blood, and then dying in agony. John chapter 6, verse 35, one more time. "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" Listen, be committed to feed on the Word of God daily and the fellowship of Christians. You have a great day.